turn once in a while, you know, just to kind of, you know, great. How many of you are just, you're feeling all right today? How many of you are feeling great today? How many of you are a come see, come saw, you know, just kind of, yeah. Well, I have to admit something to you, and some of you may know this, but I fear heights. Even standing here is a reach for me, you know. I do, I really do. I just flew this past week, Vancouver once again, and fear was trying to paralyze me, you know. And I've learned to kind of condition myself to it, but God has certainly taught me something. And in a very difficult way, you know, God tends to do that. And well, this journey west, I got on the plane, and I was attempting to keep my confidence in check. And I was traveling with another pastor, so I knew I couldn't scream out loud. I knew. So I prayed that morning. I said, God, you know, I just asked if He'd just give me the confidence. You know, get on that plane. Give me the confidence in the pilot who's flying our plane, and to do anything to lessen my height of fear. How many of you have ever made an agreement with God? Yeah, you know. So I did that, and as we got on the plane, three seats, you know, WestJet, and you know that's a plug for them. So I hope I get a discount. But there were three seats each side of the plane, and I agreed to take the middle seat because I knew if I looked out the window, you know, like, then I would probably go white, and you know, who knows what? I wouldn't be responsible. So I thought there'd be less fear if I sat in the middle. So I sat in the middle, and I remember distinctly, silently praying again to God, you know, oh God, just lessen my fear of heights, just lessen my fear of heights, just lessen my fear. Lady sat beside me, and as we're sitting there, she sat down, and as you know, and I'm talking away to my colleague, you know, because nothing's happened yet. I mean, you know, that it's at that stage before it starts to actually move. You know, they push it back. I can never figure out how a plane backs up, but anyway, they push it back. So this lady simply, she goes, this is my first flight, she says. Oh, great. And she's by me, you know, like. And she says, this is my first flight. And I, wow. My colleague goes, whoa, are we ever honored to be beside you? We're both pastors, you know, so you know you're safe. I was thinking, yeah, she does, you know. So we began going down the runway, and, you know, I almost start to panic when I hear the, you know, and we're moving, and I'm, so I pull out a book. That's what I did. You know, I'm sitting here looking at my book, and I'm looking intently, and I'm silently reminding God, I have this agreement with you. You're going to lessen my fear, lessen my fear, lessen my fear. We get into the air, you know, and it's that stage where it's almost like the roller coaster stage where your stomach is left somewhere else, and I was just, you know, and I look up, you know, and I'm looking up, and I look over, and my colleague's like, look at it outside. Look at there, Saskatoon. Wow. You know, and I'm back in my book. And meanwhile, the lady over here, she's white-knuckling the arms, you know, and she's going, you're a pastor, what should I do? What should I do? I said, read a book. Read a book, read a book. You know, because I'm in the same boat. I'm trying not to, like, and then all of a sudden, okay, you know, typically the seatbelt sign goes off. Seatbelt sign went off. Whew. And then all of a sudden the pilot comes in. Yes, well, we're flying to Vancouver, blah, 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 you know. We were going to reach some turbulence in about, oh, there we are. Bing, seatbelt sign goes on. We're in a wind tunnel, he says. It's okay, we're going to go through a couple of thunderstorms before we reach Vancouver, but everything will be fine. It was the worst turbulent ride I've ever flown in my life. I am serious. We were dipped down. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, I think we were like this at one point. Their people were yelping. I mean, they were, you know. And the lady beside us is going, are you praying? Yeah, I'm reading my book. I'm reading my book. I'm reading my book. You know, the worst experience. And I kept my nose grounded in that book. And my colleague's going, isn't this fun? You know, we finally landed safely. And this first-time flyer says to me, well, I got to tell you about the landing. As we're coming down, I'm praying even harder because I know I've heard about this because Ken Thiessen shared it in one sermon that if you hit this, I don't know, suck-in thing and they, then you know, I thought, we're going to die. God, we're going to die. I'm going to be flown to glory now. I can just see it. And as we're coming down, there's this, you hear this big kind of like, well, I'm going to use the, boosh, pow, you know? And my colleague goes, cool, we blew a tire. We're getting off the plane. The first time flyer says to me, she looks at me, she says, did you know this entire flight, she said, I was watching you. She said, I knew you were a seasoned flyer. And she said, and I didn't see you yelp once. I received my suitcase and I quickly took Tylenol. I tell you, it was an experience. One of the first things I discovered during my ride in that airplane was that turbulence often makes the ride a little rough. Just as flying has its rough weather, so does life. Smooth days the exception. It's not the norm. We began a journey this summer with the man described in the Old Testament of the Bible as a man after God's own heart. And we began by talking about David as a sheep herder who tended his father's sheep, slay the giant Goliath, and he gained instant popularity. He was the champion of champions. But last week, you saw him on a run to a dark cave. From whom? Everyone, just about. But today, I want to look at a relationship that caused David extreme pressure, grief, really constantly put him on the run. And it really all began because of a choice. I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. It's a great passage of scripture with a lot in it. 1 Samuel 18. And we're going to look at our feelings today, and our choice of feeling provides our consequences. That's a pretty amazing thing when we feel and it can determine our outcome. Well, let's look at 1 Samuel 18. And I was going to try and select a few isolated moments out of this, but it's too hard for me to do. So I'm going to just start by reading it at verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Wow. See, feelings are determined by reaction. Determined by the way we react. See, this passage goes on to say, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him, gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. And everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. See, that passage alone, David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. Did you know in this chapter alone, 4 times the word prosper is used to describe David? David greatly prospered. 4 times in this chapter prosper. I mean, it's a good thing that David wasn't competitive, because he'd have every reason to gloat about his business. But you know, the word prosper used in this text in the Hebrew is the same. See, I like to do this once in a while just so you know I study something. Is the same word prosper that's used in two passages in Proverbs. One is in regard to keeping your mouth closed in difficult situations. And the other one, meaning, remain teachable and you will prosper. Interesting, that refers to that prosperity. David kept his mouth shut and he remained teachable and he continued to have a great relationship with God, the source of his prosperity. Did you know that some people really just can't handle other people being prosperous or getting ahead or being popular? Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not, but I thought I'd let you know. Some people find that really difficult to handle. Their insecurity gets the better of them. And if you look at 1 Samuel 18, 8, and 9, they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands, and Saul became overjoyed for David. No. Saul became very angry. For this displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they've ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. You see his reaction? Saul became very angry. The Hebrew word for angry here is kara, which means to burn within. I like that, to burn within. King Saul did a slow burn. How many of you here have ever attempted to suntan and burnt? Yeah, you know, you rub yourself with all that wonderful lotion. You know, and you sit out there and you go, well, I'm protected now. You get home and your back's peeling because you forgot your back. You know, like, you know, it's up in your shoulder, your neck. Or, you know, some of us who don't have hair, you know, it's a, you know. My kids said to me, he said, Dad, you know, it's all red in here after summer jam. They said, you know, Dad, it's all red in there. Did you know? Right in the back of your head is a red spot, you know. And Nathan said, shh, that's where his baldness is. You know, that kind of thing, you know. Slow burn. When you slowly burn, you know, that night you climb into bed and it's like, oh, careful with the sheets, you know, because the burn is there from your suntan, you know. Or you ask your spouse the next day, can you peel me? You know, that kind of thing. Slow burn, you know. There's always a consequence to a slow burn. You'll have times in your life when the devil will attack your emotions. You may go through hours, days, even weeks, when you don't feel like anything else except a ball of feelings. Matter of fact, I'd even say there's a few in that place right now. I could put my hand up for that several times. Two things I want you to get today. We can control our thoughts. See, the Bible says we can take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You can control the way you think. And secondly, our feelings come from our thoughts. So our conclusion, we can control our feelings by learning to change our thinking, the way we think. It's that simple. Our feelings come from our thoughts. When what we think determines our happiness, our attitude. So the secret to staying on an even keel, not sitting and looking at a book, fill your mind with whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything excellent and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8. See, the Apostle Paul understood that which holds our attention determines our action. What holds our attention determines what am I supposed to do when I have trouble? What am I supposed to do when I've had it with all these challenges I face in my life? What do I do? I'm supposed to do what I do if I didn't have trouble. You like that? I mean, I get so deep sometimes, it's sickening. We're always asking God, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? If you're being attacked from all angles and the enemy's just attacking you, just do what you do if you weren't being attacked. It's harder then. Don't get me wrong, it's more difficult, but that's when we grow. I tell you, next time I get on a plane, we start flying. And it's smooth. I'm not going to be afraid as I was this past time. Because I've grown. There's nothing more powerful than doing what's right when you don't feel like doing it. Do you know that? I don't think you heard me. I said there's nothing more powerful than doing what's right when you don't feel like doing what's right. I mean, you're really honoring God if you do what's right without any feelings at all to support you. Guess what that's called? Walking by faith, not by sight. It just doesn't make sense sometimes to do the right thing because you don't feel at all like doing it. Well, I don't feel like teaching. I don't feel like ministering in the nursery. I don't feel like helping those people. We got to stop the I don't feel stuff and continue being who we're created to be. We can't call ourselves people of faith and then soon as we don't have feelings to support us, not do the right thing. I mean, did you know that you can have 1,001 feelings over the same thing over 30 days? 1,001 feelings over the same thing over 30 days. My mother is master at it. I know. Believe me, I know. I know. Many moments she would have, she would express her 1,001 feelings over the same thing over the 30 days. In fact, we're going to see her, and she called almost every night. And this one time, she said, "Carla, wait to get here. I got some things for you to do." And she did this. It's past time. You say, "I can't wait to get here. I got some things you got to do. And you got to go through my room. I can't wait. And I got papers all over the place. And I can't wait. And I got clothes all over. I can't wait to come." And, you know, I was like really looking forward to holiday. I mean, I get to clean my mother's room. But we arrived, and, you know, Joan went out and she bought folders so we could put papers in and deal with, you know, clean things up. And, you know, she wanted to file these. And my mom would come and she said, "What are you doing?" Well, we're filing the papers. "What? Not like that, you're not. I want it this way. I want it that way." And then I start, well, okay, I'll leave the papers. I'll start dealing with the clothes situation. So I take some clothes out of her closet that I know she doesn't like and doesn't wear. So I take those out. I set those there. Because she told me, "Take them out of my closet. I don't want those. I want these. They're all on my bed." So I took the ones out of the closet. I started putting them in boxes. She comes and, "What are you doing?" "I'm putting the clothes in them." "You're not supposed to put the clothes in there. No, put those back in the closet. That's where they belong." You know, 1,001 feelings, I think, in exactly 3 days. Then as I'm dealing with and cleaning up the room, I was, you know, busy sweeping the floor. And says, "What are you doing? Sweeping the floor." She said, "Not under the bed, you're not. You know, when are you going home anyway?" You know, she wanted me to come, and now she wants me to go. You know? 30 days. 1,001 different feelings over the same thing. Just because I don't feel like doing something doesn't mean I don't have to do it. But on the other hand, sometimes we feel like doing something we shouldn't do. Has anyone ever felt like doing something you know you shouldn't do? Yeah, there's more than that, but that's all right. We'll pray for the liars later, you know. I mean, for example, I mean, anybody feel like giving up lately? I mean, that's something you shouldn't do. Do you know that? Anybody feel like staying mad at somebody that God's telling you be nice to them? Huh? Hello? If so, you're not alone. Saul's reaction was not right. He became angry. He became suspicious. He became jealous. His stomach sort of gripped him. Fear, worry intensified, paranoia set in. You see what reaction can have? Listen to him. He's, what more can he have? What can David now have but the kingdom? Saul lost control. That happens when insecurity sets in. When you really begin to burn about another person and all that they have. I've got a problem on my hands. I got a giant killer who's going to become a king killer. And within minutes, Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Wow. What an imagination is fueled by jealousy, suspicion takes over, and at that point, dangerous things occur. And David did nothing to deserve it. Served God, he killed the giant, he submitted himself to authority, behaved properly, remained teachable, he kept quiet. Verse 15 says it all. Saul saw that he was prospering greatly. He dreaded him. Why was that? Because Saul saw that God was on David's side, and he realized that he himself didn't have the kind of power and influence David had. The Bible is so practical, isn't it? We need to keep our feelings in check. Well, feelings are determined by our reaction, but they're also determined by our response. It's interesting, in this passage, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Verse 12, the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in the campaigns and everything he did. He had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. And then Saul becomes David's father-in-law. But it's interesting how our feelings determine our life. Because the next several chapters in that passage, in 1 Samuel, talk about and describe Saul's madness. How this jealousy turns so horrible. Saul lived a life marked with fear and worry and torment, seeking to destroy the very thing that was causing him his torment, David. His reaction was jealousy, and that led to fear, and then worry, and then paranoia, and then torment. Saul's enemy was Saul. He just kept feeding his mind with so much negative stuff. Did you know your feelings aren't going to go away? You never know which emotion's going to show up on which day. I mean, you can go to bed, you can feel fantastic. You go to bed, you feel great. Really excited about doing something the next morning. You wake up, and that's the last thing you want to do. Anyone who lives life by how they feel, their life's going to be a disaster. But we have to line up our will with the will of God and do what He wants us to do. Whether we like it or not, we have to do what He wants us to do. Amen? The more you feed something, the stronger it gets. The less you feed something, the weaker it gets. Very simple. Just don't feed the flesh, and it will run out of strength to control you. Same can be said about your anger. The same can be said about your tongue. Same can be said about your unforgiving spirit. I've come to see it. Our greatest challenges are the ones that we feel we just can't face. We feel. Watch what feelings you're feeding. You know, my mentor in leadership is Dr. John Maxwell, and he said this. He said, "That which holds our attention determines our actions." We are where we are and what we are because of the dominating thoughts that occupy our minds. The more you fall in love with Christ, the more you want to please Him, and the more you want to please Him, the more you want to serve Him, and the more you want to serve Him, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. As you learn more and more about Him, you feed on Him. Not on your feelings, not on your wants. You know, I used to do this. I used to pout when I didn't get things. You know, when things didn't go my way, I used to pout. I mean, as a kid, you know. Now, I'm glad Joan is with the children because she'd say, well, you haven't changed much, you know. But I would, though. It's just, and my daughter got it down pat, you know. She'd do the same thing, you know. We'd say, no, don't touch that. That bottom little lip would, my feelings got hurt. I couldn't handle being hurt. And I tell you, then I couldn't sleep. And then I couldn't eat. And I'm not eating.
You know, I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping. You watch me. I'm going to stay awake all night. I was miserable. All because of me. If you don't want to be controlled by those things that upset and hurt you, stop feeding them. It's interesting, isn't it? Listen, here's what people do. People wait for those feelings to go away, because when the feelings go away, then I'll obey God. Here's what we do. People wait for those feelings to go away. Those feelings would just go away, then I could obey you, God. God, make these feelings go away. Make them go, even the feeling of fear, you know, of heights. You know, God, oh, do anything, God, so I'm not afraid of heights anymore. And God says, okay, well, here's the most turbulent ride you'll ever have. That wouldn't have been my choice. Fear is a feeling. It's a feeling of getting us to run away from the very thing that God is trying to get us to come confront. And you know what? We can do it afraid. We can confront things. Just because fear is present doesn't mean I have to run and not do what God is telling me to do. I may shake and have a dry mouth and all that kind of stuff. And boom, look at this book. Keep your eyes on the words. If that oxygen thing pops down, I'm fainting. You know? The only way I could get to Vancouver on that plane was going through those clouds and that turbulence. The only way out is through. The only way out is through. Turn to the person next to you and say, the only way out is through. See, God, we cry out to Him. We say, God, take it away. And He tells you, stop feeding them. Take away my fear, God, of heights. Stop feeding it. Just don't think about it. God, take away my anger. Don't feed it then. Quit feeding your anger. 1 Samuel explains what happened. Within a matter of minutes, Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Saul's reaction was jealousy, and Saul chose to fuel it and feed it instead of deal with it. Saul fed his jealousy, and it shackled him in its prison. Because he operated in that right radius of fear, worry, paranoia. Saul's great goal in life became twisted. And instead of leading Israel onto bigger and better things, Saul focused solely on making David's life miserable. Do you see how our reaction can determine our response? When you're in a situation, what are you going to do? What are you going to feed? Your anger, your resentment, your jealousy, your worry, your pain, your want. When you see your enemy coming, don't roll up your mental sleeves deciding which jab you'll throw. Remember how David handled Saul. David just kept trusting and learning from God. And he just kept prospering. Kept behaving himself wisely. When the heat rose, David fled the scene, refused to fight or even get even. If you're rubbing shoulders with a jealous individual, maybe even a roommate or a boss or a friend or even a spouse, remember the model of David, man after God's own heart. Because David remained quiet, he remained teachable. And he remained very close to God. That's the choice that you have within you today. You choose to react properly and choose to respond godly. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't know what you're feeding today. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's what you want. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's pain, hurt. Maybe it's slander. I don't know. Maybe gossip. Maybe it's control. But for a moment,
Just ask God, what is it, God, that I'm feeding improperly? Ask Him to reveal it to you. And then tell Him in this moment. Tell Him, God, I'm not going to feed that anymore. I'm going to stop feeding that. I'm going to go on a fast, and I'm not going to pick it up again, God. I'm going to stop feeding that in my life. And I'm going to remain teachable. And I'm going to remain quiet when I need to be. And I'm going to remain close to You, God. If you're making that commitment to Him today, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You. Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You. Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You. Lord bless You, Lord bless You. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless You, Lord bless You, Lord bless You. God sees all the sins. Lord bless You. Maybe you're here today and you thought, well, I'll give this a shot. I'll give this a shot today. Maybe you didn't realize that you actually had a choice. This morning you have a choice. Maybe you've never heard that God forgives. He can wipe your slate clean. And you've maybe heard a friend talk about it, the need to do that in your life, but you've never really taken that opportunity. But you know that they just want to see in heaven. You know, that's the gift that God gives so that you can see heaven, is He'll wipe you clean if you ask Him. Maybe today you just need to say, God, I want You to wipe me clean, and I give You my life, because that's also a requirement so that God can shape you even further. That's a requirement, so you need to say that to Him. And maybe if you haven't done that today, your friend's been telling you, or a spouse, or maybe your roommate, maybe it's your child, take the opportunity. Say, God, just wipe me clean. I give You my life today. And He'll do that. He'll do it. Father, this morning, this is a subject, God, that really is difficult for us because we have so many feelings, so many, that can just be wrapped up even in one moment. God, may we be people who just react right and respond properly. God, I don't know, I failed so many times to do this in my own life, God, and you know those times better than I do. And God, right now as a church, we just hold on to You. We hold on to Your garments, God, and we say that, Lord, just shape us. And sometimes we don't like that because that shaping isn't the way we want it planned. But God, shape us to be people who react right and who respond properly, whatever the situation. God, may we as a church, may we react right and may we respond properly to the world around us so that You would receive the glory forever and ever. Amen.